Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
And welcome to show number four.
Number four!
Hi, I'm Nate. With me as always is Larry.
Hello.
And the newest member of the team.
So exciting.
I know. She was nice enough to sit in last week, and we've invited Mel back to be a part of the team full time.
Yay! Thanks for not shunning me.
And by full time, I mean the once a week that we do this.
I haven't played with a woman in a really long time.
Nice. Very good.
I look forward to it.
So one of the things we've been talking about doing for a while now is sort of a little background about kind of who we are and where we came from. So we're not going to go into huge detail because that would be long and tedious. Here comes my cat Zippy. Hi, Zippy. I'll start just to give you guys an idea of what we're talking about. I was born in Vermont. In a hospital, not in a barn or anything like that. But what was interesting is the hospital I was born in ceased being a hospital a couple of years after I was born there. It was a small, because the building was small and they moved to a new, bigger building. So by the time I got to high school, it was a slalom plant. And slalom was, they've gone out of business now, I think. They made like ski jackets.
Oh, I thought they were going to make like slalom ski courses.
No, they make the ski wear that you would wear on the course. So that was kind of the fun thing. I'm an only child. Spent most of my life growing up on a dairy farm in Vermont. So
moo.
Yes, middle of nowhere. Yes, I do know how to milk a cow. It is true.
It's an important skill to have.
It is, and my cat keeps yanking on the headphone cord. God, he is such a pain in the ass. I love my cat, but God, he's a pain in the ass. Come here, buddy. All right. And this is really interesting for people listening. I went to Catholic school for 13 and a half years because I went for a year and a half of college. Yeah, 12. K through 12.
I'm counting for me. I'm not counting.
Oh, okay. Larry's got his fingers going like he's doing math over there. And I'm like, no. It's anyway. I apparently got enough religion in me in that 13 and a half years that I really don't do that anymore. Graduated from the State University of New York, college at Plattsburgh. How about a yay?
Yay! I've never heard of Plattsburgh.
S-U-N-Y-A-P?
No, it's, if you must know, it was P-S-U-N-Y, or P-SUNY at the time. It's Plattsburgh State.
That sounds dangerously close to something else.
It does. And our most famous alumnus.
Oh, I know. Wiener guy. The Wiener guy.
Anthony Wiener.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Anthony Wiener. He was well ahead of me there. But
he's Jewish, right? Jews.
I'm pretty sure he's Jewish.
Yay.
Judging from the pictures, you mean?
Oh.
Oh, true. Luckily, he does not live in San Francisco soon.
Well, we know he likes to work out, so there's that.
But his face.
He's got big body and the little tiny pea head.
Work. I'm sorry. It just does not work for me.
Well, I'm sure he'd be sad to hear that.
That we don't approve.
should send him like a letter.
Mr. Wiener, none of us will be sleeping with you.
Especially Larry. Larry is very disappointed in you.
That's true.
Got a degree in mass comm, worked in radio for a few years, and TV back east, and then I moved to Sacramento in 2007. And now we're doing this. In my living room, on my cheap IKEA couch with my cat.
It's a pretty comfy couch, actually. I'm not going to lie. I like it.
It's a hell of a couch.
I like it.
For a cheap IKEA. They don't even make this anymore. They don't go this low in models at IKEA anymore.
Aww.
It was such a nice IKEA couch, we didn't have to put it together.
Oh.
The only putting together was putting the cushions on it.
Ooh.
And they even came like shrink-wrapped on the thing. So
That's handy.
That was interesting. So what about you, Larry? Larry, where were you born?
I was born in the great state of Ohio.
Woohoo! Go Woo! Buckeyes!
Go Buckeyes. I had to say, as a state, I feel like people have significant pride in Ohio. Like, if people are from California, like, yeah, I'm from California. Oh, me too. Ohio, like, yeah, I'm from Ohio. I grew up in Ohio. I went to 19 years of Catholic school. What? From kindergarten through graduate school.
Oh, my God.
I have never attended a public institution.
Gross.
Wow.
Luckily, that is how I am not in a gang. I did go to a very rough prep school, however. It was pretty rough. Our natatorium did not have a diving well, so the diving team had to go to the girls' school about 3 blocks away. It's pretty rough.
I just love that you use the word natatorium. I love that word. Almost as much as the word defenestration.
Ooh, that's a fun word.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look those up afterwards.
Defenestration, to throw something or someone out of a window.
I like it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
A natatorium is a building that's specifically built to house an indoor aquatic complex.
All right, cool. Well, and we've all learned something then.
When you pay that much money to go to high school, they want you to call it natatorium instead of indoor pool. Although what's weird is the pool was built like right before I started. The kid whose parents built it was a junior in high school. Now, if your parents fund the complete construction of a new natatorium, I kind of feel like it's a golden pass for like you don't do your physics homework. It's like, did you see the pool? Correction, did you see the natatorium? Anyway, if you watch Glee, my high school is very loosely based, or Warblers, where they go, is loosely based on my high school.
Oh, nice.
Cool. Fun fact. Ours was slightly more gay. I have lived in a variety of places, Nebraska, Ohio, most recently from D.C. I moved here in 2007, I like Sacramento because there's a lot of places to get hot dogs.
That's true.
There really are. People in California like hot dogs more than any other state.
Nice. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
Nice. Oh, I want to go back and add really quickly. My high school, I was in the last graduating class at my high school, and they turned the building into just K through 8. And a few years ago, I lost track of the whole thing because I just ignored the thing where they sent an envelope asking for money. Because I don't go to church and do that. Why would I do that with my school? And I went back to look at the school because, yeah, every now and then you just go and drive around it. There are weeds growing up everywhere. That goddamn building is empty and abandoned.
Ooh, that's scary.
That's sad.
Yeah, so my elementary school, which was a different Catholic elementary school, that's still running, but where I went to high school, not only did I close the high school, now the entire building is, it looks a lot like an abandoned building, say, in South Sac.
Seems like a lot of things you touch turn to shit.
Well, there's that.
Oh, my.
I'm kidding.
My high school alumni and development office changed my name to Lawrence. It has never been Lawrence. I've never gone by Lawrence. My birth name is Larry. However, it wasn't good enough for them. So in all of like the alumni magazines and stuff I get from high school, it says Lawrence. And I wrote them one day and said, my name is not Lawrence, it's Larry. And they still haven't changed it. It makes me angry.
Well, why would they?
Because
you're still getting it.
I know, but my name isn't Lawrence. Ooh, but my class is the first class that had a female graduate because we had someone that had the change. As soon as he was 18, he took it, no joke, he literally took it like his trust fund and started the process when he was 18. And he had the full kit and caboodle done.
Wow.
Downstairs. So Jeff Stevens is now, I don't know what her name is now, but I ran into her once and you can kind of tell it's still that she resembles him. And so it was kind of odd. It took me a little bit of time to figure it out. And then I was like, oh, we went to high school together.
Jeff, email us. We want to know what your name is and send us a picture.
Oh, true, true. You can email the show now. We announced this last week.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I didn't listen. I'm sorry. I have to tune in.
Well, you were stuck somewhere on a flyover state. That's when we did true. This. If you want to email the show to ask any of us a question, it is Nate Darling Show, all one word, because I have to say that because I go back to pre-email. So it's Nate Darling Show at rocketmail.com.
Rocket Mail.
Rocket Mail.
That
bitches.
Sounds like a porn company. That sounds like right? A porn equivalent of Netflix.
It's really just an offshoot of Yahoo because I was going to sign up for a Yahoo email and they gave me the option of Yahoo or Rocket Mail. And I'm like, well, Rocket Mail sounds way better than Yahoo.
Why do you hate Google?
I don't hate Google.
But Gmail's so fun.
It is, but I don't want to have 16 Gmail accounts because it syncs to my phone and it invades my brain.
Ooh.
They essentially throw a lifeline or a catheter into any opening they can get on you because they want to know everything. Like I have Google Plus and now the pictures on my phone are showing up in my Google Plus thing without me doing anything. Some call that convenient. I call that just sucking everything in together.
Google Plus is stupid.
I'm so glad I'm technologically not connected.
Google Plus is like, it's really stupid. I spent time trying to learn it. It's like a stupid Facebook. I'm sure that's how people feel about Facebook, but like,
if you want to contact me, send me a letter.
What?
I know, right?
Did you hear the post office announce they're going to stop Saturday mail soon?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I know. Sad.
So that means I won't get that junk mail on Saturdays now? Because I don't really get much of anything else. All my bills come electronically now. Mm. So
I get Maxim magazine in the mail.
I love Real Mail.
Well, I used to like Real Mail when I would get things other than just bills. Because that's the one thing that really sucks when you grow up is now the only thing you get in the mail is junk mail and bills or Maxim if you've subscribed.
I'm going to write you a letter.
You are not going to write me a letter.
I'm so
going to
write you a letter.
Don't you get like neighborhood updates? My neighborhood's way too involved, and so I feel like I get it like a newsletter from my neighborhood every week.
I get that whole like newspaper thing, and I always read it now because there's always a food review from Greg Saban, and I adore him, and I love his reviews.
Can we just say how he's taking over the Sacramento Airways with that character for the Roseville Auto Mall?
Right.
Everywhere.
Newton Carruthers.
Right. He was on the radio and on the like electronic billboard by the Cal Expo, and I'm like, this is amazing, and too much, Greg Saban.
You can't have too much Greg Saban.
That's true. You can't. It makes me happy.
I know.
We may be reaching a saturation point, though, for people who don't really know Greg.
Friend him. You can friend Newton Carruthers on Facebook, I'm pretty sure now.
Newton Carruthers.
Yes. You can. If you don't live in Sacramento, this really doesn't mean a lot to you. But you can, in fact, friend Newton Carruthers on Facebook.
He's like the Sacramento equivalent of Flo from Progressive Auto.
Yes.
He would love to hear that.
Who's also a food critic and a musician.
He plays the banjo.
He does. He's in the Free Badge Serenaders.
We all have a little bit of a Greg Saban crush.
And his girlfriend's hot.
And the nicest human on the planet.
Seriously.
And tall.
Really sexy tall.
I feel like as awesome as he is, we should all secretly hate him.
You can't. He's too nice.
I know. You know, I almost want to get a life-size cutout of him to put in my living room now.
That might be slightly awkward.
For the just for the show. I mean, I turn it around the other times.
It's like he'd be here with us.
Ooh.
Yeah, it would be like you'd always have Greg in the room with you. I don't know why I'm gesturing. I guess that's where I would put the cutout over by my fake fireplace stove.
I bet the Roseville Auto Mall is going to start to have contests where you can win life-size cutouts of Newton Carruthers.
They should. Speaking of business concerns, we do have. I do want to thank Huge Entertainment. Huge Entertainment. It's spelled H-U-G Entertainment.
Doesn't that mean Hug Entertainment?
It's pronounced Huge.
Okay.
It's my friend Pat, and he makes the podcast possible because he is loaning us this equipment.
Oh, I love Huge Entertainment.
Huge Entertainment. Click if you are going to the website to listen to the podcast, click on Show Extras, and you can find out more about Huge Entertainment. Plus, I will be posting links to all of the stuff that we talk about on the show. So when we talk about videos, when we talk about news stuff, things we've seen, there are going to be links on the show. Like last week we talked about my new condoms.
Right, right.
And I posted a picture and a link to what they are. You really need to listen to last week's show.
I do.
His new
really
thin
with a
condoms.
Y.
Oh, man.
Because
yeah.
Lifestyles discontinued my condom. There is nothing that's going to make you feel worse than when you go and find out your condom's been discontinued. Not the whole brand, just that one style.
Another thing that's gone to shit because of you.
Apparently.
Wow, that's a good point.
Right?
You should write them a letter.
You're harsh. Another major announcement, this is going to be Mel's last show with us.
Oh, sad.
I know, it's the shortest tenure ever. It's terrible.
No, I'm sad.
It was like that Christina Applegate show that lasted one episode. Was it Christina? No, it was the other blonde girl that no one cares about anymore.
It was bad. To be fair, the show was really bad.
One episode on ABC. I don't remember what it was. Was it Alicia Silverstone?
No. It was someone that was kind of unknown.
So either way.
I think she was on Dancing or Skating with the Stars.
Oh, dude. Skating with
the
Stars.
Yes, all.
All right. So, Mel, would you like to let us know a little bit about you and where you came from?
Sure. Well, technically, I was born in Chicago.
Oh.
But then I grew up in Ohio.
OH.
Go Buckeyes. And I have an older brother who I adore, and we're very good friends, and he's one of my bestest friends, and he has a lovely family who I miss because they're in Ohio.
Where do they live?
They live in the Dayton area.
Whereabouts?
I don't know.
You should find out.
You don't know where your brother lives? Hey, Mel's brother, because I know he listens now. How about you email the show and let us know where you live so that we can figure it out, because Mel doesn't really know exactly where it is. So,
well, I've only been there once. They haven't been living there like that long, and now they're buying a new house somewhere else. So I'm not exactly sure.
So you don't want to get too committed to one address because they might move.
Well, I know they're moving. They're going to hopefully move by Thanksgiving. So,
okay.
So I grew up in Ohio with my one older brother, and I went to high school. It was a regular old high school, no religion, but I did have to go to Hebrew school and Sunday school, and I was bas mitzvahed.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you, and shalom.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Hebrew National Hot Dogs.
Yay! And then I went to Ohio University for undergraduate and graduate degree. I was a police officer in Athens, Ohio. I got my master's degree. I'm a licensed therapist, as well as I was a police officer. And then I came to California in 2000, and I worked at the mental hospital at Sac County Mental Health for a while, mm-hmm. and I did outpatient psych services, and now I work for the county in a different job.
Nice.
The first place I ever got drunk was in Athens, Ohio. I was a freshman in high school, and we went to the Greenery.
Nice. I believe it's still standing to this day.
I'm sure it is.
It was an all-ages club, so everybody could go there.
That's why I think we went. My sister went to Ohio University, and I went for a little Sibs weekend.
Nice. Halloween is our big event. That was always very
fun. They always riot.
Yes.
And then when the time changed, that was always big,
right,
too.
They had a riot.
The bars closed early because of the time change. So, because the bars in Ohio don't close till 2. And so when the time goes back, everyone riots because they feel they deserve another hour at the bar.
Other places have riots for real things, but not in Athens. Oh, no.
Bars closing.
But it was fun. I still remember my first Athens riot as a police officer. It was very exciting.
Why?
Well, the first thing I remember is I was at the bottom of a very steep hill when the call came in, and I went up the hill so fast in my cruiser that when I crested the top of the hill, I almost knocked myself unconscious on the top of the car because I took flight.
That's kind of awesome.
Then I ran down an alley into a thick crowd of people, and I mean, I'm not short, but I'm a smaller woman.
So you were out of the car at this point.
So I jumped out of the car and realized there was nowhere to go, and I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see over the crowd, and I was sort of pushing my way through, and the next thing I knew, a cop had grabbed me by the back of my neck and literally lifted me over the crowd and turned to me and said, "Rookie, keep your back to the cruisers." And I was like, okay. And it was very exciting, and it was like shoving nice. People with your like nightstick, and it was thrilling.
That's kind of fun.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds like trying to get on Muni after a Giants game.
It was a lot like that.
That's bad times. All right, so... one of the things that I found this week on the internet that I wanted to talk about, they've found a 22-year-old woman in England who has she's got an extra nipple, but not in a sexy place. She has a third.
Where's a sexy place for an extra nipple?
Somewhere on the breast.
Really? That would be sexy to you? One breast, two nipples?
More so than where this one is. Yes. I'm not going to lie. It's where a nipple should be. I mean, maybe on the back, so if you're dancing, you could play with it.
Ew.
Anyway.
Does it have nipple sensation?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know, because my understanding was she finally, now at 20-something, went to the doctor. But my nipples are, I mean, I don't know how boys' nipples are too much, but mine are pretty sensitive. Like, I get chafed in the cold or whatever. Like, doesn't it hurt on her foot getting, like, a chafed nipple?
Well, we hadn't talked about that. It's the world's first recorded foot nipple.
It's disgusting.
And only 5% of the population suffer from, it's called supernumerary breast tissue, and it's usually above the waist. And it's a 22-year-old woman. She's had it since birth, but she only recently went to get it checked out.
Really?
That's a really long time of denial.
Right?
Look, I saw the picture. I sent you guys the picture so you could see it, and we're going to post a link to it as well. And it's literally right on the bottom of her foot.
Like right in the arch, right?
Yeah, right near the arch and heel. So it's right in the middle of the foot, basically.
And it definitely looks like a nipple.
Yeah, oh yeah,
it's
definitely.
Like, oh, it's a weird mole. No, it's a clear nipple.
Yeah.
Hairy, too.
So if there's breast tissue, there would have to be feeling along with that.
You would think, and you could milk your foot.
I bet that's like ideal for people that have like a foot fetish.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
One more thing to suck on?
No, they'd go crazy.
I don't know. I think as a guy, if you were dating this girl, and there was only a picture of her foot, if you were dating her and you were to see her with her shoes off, like, you know, because most women will want you to rub their feet,
true.
It's true. The shoes come off and you're like, what the hell is that? I don't know. Never checked it out.
I just want to know more. I just want to know if it feels like, could she get turned on if you pinch it and flick it?
Think how hot to be if you wear flip-flops and you can take your foot out and just kind of play with it. If you're bored one day, you could just like pretty much nipple masturbate.
But it seems like it's like I never understood the, this is going to be whatever, but the women who wear those like strappy on vibrator things that vibrate all the time when they're out in the world. I've never done such a thing, but I hear these exist.
They do.
It seems like that's, to me, that seems like overstimulation.
Right.
This seems like the same thing. If you're always rubbing your nipple, because every step you take is a little nipple rub, it seems like that would be overstimulation on your nipple.
But I think part of the thrill, because I actually know someone that does this, is part of the thrill is knowing that you're doing it and no one else knows, but they like the overstimulation. And there's a remote control device that you can control the like power or whatever. You can also give it to other people. So how weird is that?
Did you not see that movie with Gerard Butler and I forget her name now. She was on Grey's Anatomy. You know, Katherine Heigl.
Oh.
And it was set in Sacramento, and that was the funny...
That movie was awful.
It was. That was the funny scene in the movie where she puts on the underwear, and he's got the remote control, and it gets put down somewhere. Or I think she had it, and she put it down somewhere, and a little kid picked it up and didn't know what it was. So she's at this dinner with him, and it's talking to the network people and whatever, and... So, yeah, that's the funny part of that movie. So
you can't turn your foot nipple off and on. You're just always getting stimulated whether you want it or not.
Unless you maybe wore an ankle brace. So it was always covered.
Like a boot?
Yeah, or like, you know, like how in Victorian days they used to have like chastity belts? It'd be like that for your foot nipple.
Yeah, you need like wearing a really tight sports bra.
Totally. Compression. Ooh, we should reserve footnipple.com right now and pay her like $1,000 an hour to like do foot nipple porn.
People would pay for it.
Oh,
people pay for everything.
Guys will pay for anything when it comes to that.
I will let you get on that right away then.
I'm going to go to GoDaddy.com right now.
Home of the moderately hot girl who's, you know, hot for what she does, but not exceptional. Like Danica Patrick. She's an attractive girl. She's an incredibly hot girl for a race car driver. But if you
put
her...
she's hot.
You're gay. So I'm not saying she's unattractive. I'm just saying for a race car driver, she's off the charts hot.
She's no Daryl Waltrip.
Well, there you go. So yes, go to GoDaddy or whatever and do that. So foot nipple was fun. Good God. I found that on Perez Hilton.
I love Perez Hilton.
I didn't even know Perez Hilton was still a going concern because he was like really hot for a while. And then it sort of went away. And I'm like, how long can you draw a fake cum splatter on people's pictures?
He's one of the most visited websites. He's one of my main news sources. Because if something's going on in the world, he's going to comment about it. Just putting it out there.
Fair.
And what I think is funny is, you remember, it was a couple months ago, Jennifer Aniston called him out. She said, how can you not be promoting bullying when all you do is bully stars? So now it's kind of changed. It's still funny. But he used to just kind of be vicious about some people, and now he's not as vicious. But he still draws in all of his pictures.
Yeah, he essentially circles it as though someone has jerked off onto the picture and dribbled cum down it. So it's classy, much like my description of it.
You should do holiday cards.
I know, wouldn't that be awesome? He might do a line of West Hollywood cards. I don't know.
Happy Hanukkah.
Come on your face.
Here's cum in your eye.
We once arrested a guy that had cum dripping down his back.
Oh, my God.
And nobody could figure out exactly what was going on at first. And then once we did, nobody really wanted to be the one to arrest him.
How did he get cum on his back?
His friend put it there.
Oh, I thought he was by himself. I was like, that's talent.
Shit shot straight up, and then he bent over really quick.
That would be. They should have like an X-rated America's Got Talent, and they should have shit like that.
I would
totally watch.
You can put that on footnipple.com. You can make it a whole series of sites. Nobody steal that.
We've now copyrighted it.
Yes, it's copyrighted. Don't steal our idea.
That's right. Speaking of naked things, in Moscow, young Russian women are being urged to shed their clothes as a way of showing support for their Prime Minister Vladimir Putin. Yes.
And this shows support how exactly?
Who cares?
Russian culture is interesting. They also have the nude news in Russia. in part because it was so, women are always covered up all the time in Russia. Because
it's cold.
It's true.
So yeah, there, it's basically a contest, and the winning entry of these naked girls gets an iPad.
How do you win? Nakedest?
I think they're going to go by hottest.
I like that, the nakedest. I'm sorry, you still got some pubes.
Who's the nakedest?
And apparently this isn't a new thing, because he's used to having young women use their bodies to lend him their backing. Last year, female Russian university students published a calendar for him, which they were photographed in nothing but their underwear. So now, young Russian women are hot for Putin. I mean, he does do shirtless stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like a big thing for young Russian women or what the deal is, you know.
I think still Russia's dealing with when pornography was illegal, because if you masturbated, it would hurt the society.
Hey now.
And so a lot of sexuality things were really underground and like frowned upon. So they're still kind of reclaiming it. Kind of interesting.
Wow. So communist Russia was a little like the Catholic Church in that if you were taking it away.
Sort of.
Interesting.
My snotty high school sent me to Russia for a summer.
Oh, well, that's terrible.
These things.
Yeah. My high school sent us home. It's like, it's summer. Go home. Screw off.
Yeah, I didn't do anything fun in high school, really.
No, like, no.
I think we did a senior trip to D.C.
We would go, because I was, like, really close to Canada. Like, you could actually see Canada from my high school. No Sarah Palin references. out over a lake, you could see part of it. And I actually went to high school with some Canadian guys. And on the weekend, we would go up to this bar right across the border. And it's Derby Line, Vermont, and Rock Island, Quebec? I forget that. Anyway, it's one town split by a border. And it was obviously pre-9/11. It was very different. So we would go up, and there was a bar called the Del Bar, or the Hotel Del Monte, if you want to get fancy, that was literally 200 feet from the Canadian border checkpoint. So you would pull up to the border, and they're like, where are you going?
A.
And you would go, no, it's French. It's French Canada. There's no A.
Oui.
Bonjour.
It's like, where are you going? And you would literally do this. And you would point and go, Del Bar. Mm-hmm. And they go, okay. And that was the end of it.
Wow, that's what you did in high school?
Well, the drinking age in Canada was 18.
Yeah, I remember friends used to drive up to go to strip clubs, too, when I was in high school.
Yes.
For a while in Ohio, it was really big to go to Windsor. It was like right over Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
People went there.
Yeah.
Senior year, our school rented out an island in Saint-Tropez in the Caribbean.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm kidding.
Well, my senior year, I got to do gross anatomy lab and dissect a cadaver.
That's hot.
All right.
My junior year of high school, our biology teacher's wife had a baby, and he explained what it was like, the sound of when a woman gets an episiotomy.
Oh, a ripping sound.
The moment I became gay, I was in health class, and they showed the full birth, including the afterbirth. Wow.
My dad's an OB-GYN. I believe I actually took a placenta for show and tell as a child.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you know Scientologists eat placentas?
Who doesn't? I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. It so turns my stomach. Sorry, Scientologists.
So you're saying you weren't born this way, Larry?
I might have been, but that kind of sealed the deal. Seriously, I did not understand how much stuff came out after.
No amount of Marcus Bachman praying and dancing would cure you.
There's a reason our alumni gatherings resemble a gay bar, because I think every gay dude was turned gay at my high school from that moment. gay. They really should just show that like in bars constantly, because then no one would ever want to hook up and have like...
It's like a Just Say No campaign.
Yes. This is what will happen.
Actually, they should show it outside of bars for people who are lined up. You know,
you're still sober enough to get it.
Hoochie's on the sidewalk. All the hoochies on the sidewalk and all the dudes with their chain. Yeah, exactly. They need to be seeing that and knowing, hey, that dude that you're going to have six drinks and think it's a good idea to go home and fuck, this is what could happen to you. Literally.
A lot of stretching and gushing.
Oh, yeah.
Stretching and gushing. That sounds like a designer clothes label.
Stretching and gushing.
.com. Go get that on.
Or a weird law firm. We have a lot of websites to register.
Right?
We do. It's going to be a busy night for us all.
We are going to be rich, rich, rich with our porn and gushing websites.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, home of liberty, life, and the pursuit of cheesesteaks.
Tasty cakes.
Sure. Philadelphia, this was all over the internet. It was all over TV this morning, a report that in Philadelphia, they were going to start handing out tickets for walking and texting at the same time. That was the report. Now you laugh. Why do you laugh?
That just seems silly.
It does.
It just seems so silly that it's absurd.
So,
though, as a person who once walked into a parking meter full force while studying for an exam, I get it. I mean, you can be distracted. I had a parking meter bruise on my chest.
How tall was the parking meter?
As tall as my chest.
Wow. Chest high, Larry. Yes. It was chest high.
It was chest high.
And I know she was wearing stilettos or something.
And I like, no. And I walked into it like at a fast clip.
That's bad news. So little later on, the news broke that internet rumor wasn't entirely true. And at first I was relieved, and then I was angry because they're not handing out tickets, but they are in fact going to stop you if they see you with your head down walking and texting in Philadelphia.
They're going
to
tweet you.
They're going to hand you a motherfucking pamphlet. They're going to hand you...
Well, then you're just
going to
be distracted reading that.
They're going to hand you a pamphlet, no. Just like when I got stopped at the DUI checkpoint, was completely sober, and this bitch from MAD felt the need to hand me a pamphlet that folded out to the size of my house.
It was a very large pamphlet. It literally, when you want to become a foster parent, the pamphlet they give you is smaller than that.
Because... I was wondering, do you hand that to the guy that actually gets pulled out for being drunk, or do you just hand it? That the MAD thing made me mad because at least in Philadelphia, they're handing it to people who are doing it. It would be like walking down the street in Philadelphia and handing out the goddamn pamphlet to people who are walking around with their heads up, paying attention to where they're going. Being like, oh, just wanted to stop you. You're doing a great job. Here you go.
It's preventative maintenance.
They really should text it. Right? A series of tweets. And Twitter links.
So what is this pamphlet telling you? Like, you could walk into something?
Yes. Yeah. You could walk into the street. Someone could walk into you. You could get hit by a car. It's all this.
But don't you think that goes back to survival of the fittest?
Now, okay, to be fair, my best friend lives in Philadelphia. I've spent a lot of time there. I'm going to say collectively, even though Pennsylvania has many smart people, as a whole, the city's not going to win any Jeopardy championships coming up. And... So especially like in Old City and some of the other parts in downtown Philadelphia, the roads are really close and parking there is awful because it's such an old city that it's hard to see people. So like there isn't much room where like if you step off of a curb, it's not like cars can see you. So I think it's part of the reason. And if you've ever seen the show Parking Wars,
yes,
that's set in Philadelphia and kind of gives you some insight. The other thing that I find interesting is Philadelphia has some pretty significant crime issues. I'm thinking the police probably have other things to work on rather than carrying out pamphlets, giving them to like 23-year-olds who are texting about where they're going to get Smirnoff Ice for tonight and where they're going to go next. So that's go Philadelphia.
That was kind of my point, too. It's like, okay, so you're going to have cops. Instead of actually going around dealing with criminals, you're going to go, hey, we want you to go walk around near the Liberty Bell and shit. And if you see somebody with their head down texting, you hand them a pamphlet.
Well, maybe they'll have like their community service officers or like their volunteers or their trainee baby cops.
Oh, like police academy citizens on patrol?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just like that.
Philadelphia got in trouble a while ago because they have a whole nightlife campaign. Well, not like travel campaign. That was called Get Your History Straight and Your Nightlife Gay. It was marketed for gay tourists to go to Philadelphia.
Right.
And they had all these pictures of people. And one of the images was like, two olden looking dudes that look like George Washington holding hands. And it made all the people crazy. Crazy.
That's awesome.
It was pretty fun.
Now that you bring that up, I actually wanted to talk to you about this in particular. And you can chime in too, Mel, if you like. Jerry Brown this past week signed a new bill into law, which states and people around the country are going to go, that could only happen in California. Well, no, it could happen where you live too. It could be just something different. Basically, they have to teach gayness in history.
Correct.
From my understanding is, I mean, obviously there have been gay people throughout history who have done things. They have to go back and let's
and out them all.
Basically, yes, they have to go back and out them all. And that was my question too. It's like, okay, so is it just the people we assume might be gay? Like, and we talked about Abe Lincoln in the first show. Larry, this is, makes the assumption that Abe Lincoln is gay.
It's why the gay Republican group is called the Log Cabins, because he lived in a log cabin with a man for like 14 years.
My boyfriend is a bit of a Abe Lincoln obsessive aficionado, and so he might beg to differ, but maybe we can bring him on and he could probably do a whole dissertation on Abe Lincoln. Oh, he is obsessed.
That would be fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
No, it would not.
You should see all the books he has.
If he comes on to talk about Abe Lincoln, we're just going to call him gay.
Okay.
Now, here's
he's going to be dancing at Faces instead of going back with
he
you.
He can wear his Abe Lincoln t-shirt.
Now, here's the thing about what passed. It's called the Fair and Education Act, and it not only promotes GLBT inclusiveness, it also includes disability inclusiveness. So for people who were identified either having disability or being gay, it makes that be part of the curriculum. It's not like teaching gay things. It's making sure. And the same thing happened to African-Americans and women. And the part of the reason is, the most glaring example was a history book that a lot of schools in California use talked about Harvey Milk and just referred to him as a civil rights activist and made no mention about his sexual orientation. Now, here's my thing. I think it's really great and it makes sense and I fully support it. I actually called a few times because the gay haters were calling in force, saying the schools are going to be crazy if this happens. Now, here's the thing. I also feel the same way about religion. If a person identifies as gay and that causes them to be an activist or out, I think it's important that people learn that's the motivation.
Right.
Like, it annoys me a little bit the de-Christianization of some civil rights leaders. Like, Martin Luther King was a civil rights leader because he believed in equality because it sprung from Christianity. So, like, I think that's important to know. I think you have to know about people and, you know, I think it's a good thing.
I just, in my head now, I'm thinking, like, they're going to be like, you know why Betsy Ross was always, all the pictures are her in a rocking chair? Cripple.
Well, because, like, FDR for so long was never recognized as being in a wheelchair. Even in his, like, the monument in D.C.,
he was just always really tired.
Yeah, he's just sitting down a lot. He's got leg cramps. Well, he's got restless leg syndrome.
Actually, I heard this about FDR a couple of weeks ago, speaking of that. When, you know how we had Obama would come out, when Obama comes out to address the nation and Bush before him, there would be the walk down the side hallway and then the long walk up the hallway and everybody sitting there waiting, watching him walk up. Because it was a big secret that FDR had polio, because at that time it was considered a sign of weakness. And no one wanted to portray that to the world or even to the country. So whenever FDR would have a press conference, they would bring him out like 30, 40 minutes before they would even open the doors. And he would stand behind the podium for 30 to 40 minutes. This is a guy with polio who was in a wheelchair most of the time. Now, who would stand there for 30 or 40 minutes, do his speech, do his press conference. They would then clear the room, which took another 30 minutes or so. And then he would be able to get back in the wheelchair. So just imagine that. Just imagine an hour of pre and post press conference / speech, whatever he's doing, and he's then got to get up and do that. So just think about how much that is the next time you're standing around, you're on your feet for a while, and your feet kind of hurt a little bit, and you're like, this sucks. My feet hurt. I want to sit down. Imagine being the president of the United States and going, if I sit down, everyone will think I'm weak, and then everyone will think the country is weak. It's just a very different mindset. It gave me a whole different perspective on FDR and that whole thing. I mean, we all know that people had a different mindset at that point about getting stuff done and being tough and things like that. But I mean, Jesus.
Now, to make a direct comparison, Mariah Carey, when she does upfronts for her movie, she mandates, it's actually in her rider, in her contract, that she only be photographed from certain angles. And most times the star stays there and everyone has to come in. Like, literally, she will not move and will not disengage from her position until everyone's in and out. So I just made a direct comparison, FDR. If you look at her, it's always this angle, always. She'll never be photographed from the other side.
Never notice.
I believe that sound you just heard was FDR rolling over in his grave, which is hard because he's got the chair in there, too.
Oh.
I think it'd be really funny to have, like, a book editor just make up crazy shit about, like, people in history. Like, Betsy Ross was, very into leather and bondage. Well, like, just crazy things like that.
To be fair, they already have that, and that person is writing history books in Texas.
That's true.
They're making shit up there, right and left. Seriously, the state of Texas spends a ton of money on education, yeah. but it's not to educate their kids better. It's to rewrite all of the history books to make sure they have sort of a Christian point of view.
Mm-hmm. And Texas is the largest buyer. Texas is the largest buyer of textbooks, more so than California, unfortunately, because Texas actually funds education there. They dominate almost everything because every book publisher needs to be able to sell. There's a really great documentary. I forget the name of it. I'll send it to you. We can post it. It talks all about that and how really some crazy people in Texas pretty much mandate what's in most textbooks.
So Texas is our future. Just remember that.
Ooh.
I know, crazy.
Don't mess with it.
Do not mess with our future.
If I'm no longer Jewish. Don't kill me.
You can be. No, you're a bat mitzvahed.
You're fine. Just don't tell little kids, because this Texas thing's only a fairly recent deal. So you're talking a good 20 years before anyone would do anything horrible to you.
Awesome.
You know.
I have that movie Apt Pupil in my head. Somebody's gonna come like when I'm all old and be like, do Jewish things, and now I don't kill people. Jewish.
No, but to be fair, crazy Christians love Jews because rapture can't happen unless Jews are in control of Israel.
Right.
So you can always play that card.
There you
awesome.
Go.
Awesome. Done.
You're all safe.
I'm going to make you a card that actually says that. In case of Christian emergency, remember,
break
I'm
glass.
Needed for rapture.
I talk a lot about stuff that pisses me off. Anybody who knows me knows that. So I want to take a moment to talk about something that I think is really, really awesome. Weird Al Yankovic is fucking awesome. I just want to say that. He's got a new album out, Alpocalypse. I think it's Alpocalypse. Anyway, yeah, it is fantastic. He is the odd thing is now Weird Al Yankovic is a better musician and artist than most of the artists that he is spoofing. So he went from being this weird, crazy novelty act to over the past 25 years. He is really an icon in music now. And the new album is probably his best album. And that's saying a lot because he's done a lot of really, really good stuff.
I had no idea how many Weird Al fans there were until was it last year or the year before at the State Fair, because he comes most years. Place was packed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I like his songs, but you're right. His songs are really funny and they're good.
It's
and they're
more
great.
Than funny. It, the musicality, the writing,
yeah,
it is.
It's
really amazingly well done for a guy who's doing spoofs. It's not cheesy, half-assed spoofs.
No, he's moved on from cheesy, half-assed spoofs to full-on satire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is way harder to do. I mean,
super hard.
It's not fart jokes, and I mean, sure, there's still fart jokes there. He still does the polka medleys.
But they're smart polka medleys. Ooh, and I think it's important to note that he is Jewish.
It is?
Mel just did a right-on fist, like for the Jewish Panther Party.
Everybody, you know, knows that Jews run the world.
Of novelty music.
I didn't finish my sentence.
No, I did.
Of novelty music.
Novelty music. There's no one compares to him. I mean, and I remember when I was a kid growing up, the Dr. Demento radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Every Sunday night, Dr. Demento would come on and make you look confused, Larry.
I don't recall this.
My dad loved Dr. Mendo, and that's where I learned about the Fish Heads song.
Oh, Fish Heads, Broly Poly,
yeah.
Fish Heads?
Yeah.
I like that song.
So Dr. Demento was this weird dude who, he was a standard DJ who liked playing novelty records. There were a ton of novelty records in the 50s and the 60s. And he started this radio show that ended up being syndicated. He was out of L.A. And all across the country on Sunday nights, there was 2 hours of novelty songs. There was Fish Heads, Dead Puppies.
You remember that one, Larry?
I don't remember Dead Puppies.
They're not
dead
much.
Dead Puppies
aren't
much
fun.
Oh, I do.
No, no, no.
I do. I actually heard a dance mix of that like 2 years ago in San Francisco.
Dead Puppies remix.
Puppies.
So, anyway, Dr. Demento, Weird Al Yankovic was a huge fan of Dr. Demento, and he apparently sent him some of his stuff, and Dr. Demento was like, wow, this is pretty good. And this was when Al was, I think, in college, and he played a couple of his parody records. And from that sprang what is now Weird Al Yankovic, now with LASIK vision and no mustache. So he still has the long, curly Jewish hair.
For a while, I thought him and Howard Stern was the same person. It was probably, no joke, it probably was until high school where I was like, oh, they're not the same person.
No.
They look somewhat similar. Is that Jewish of me? Is that Jewish?
A little bit.
It's Jewish. They both have long hair. It's not even the same color.
No, right. But in my head, the same consistency. They look the same.
Oh, Larry.
They have a very different message.
People aren't mad at me.
They have a very different message, too. And I remember in the late 80s, I mean, Michael Jackson, that's the one thing. And there's a lot of people who hate on Michael Jackson, even, you know, before he died. Then he was great for everybody. But there were a lot of people that hated on Michael Jackson. But Michael Jackson never shied away from letting Weird Al go ahead and parody his music. Unlike Prince, who would not allow that. And, I mean, you can go against that. You can go, because there is a license for parody and spoofing. But Prince would never be like, yeah, go ahead and do whatever. Because he was like, I'm a serious artist and I don't want anybody to take my serious art and make fun of it.
He wrote the song Party Like It's 1999.
Oh.
I mean, really, Prince?
Yeah, and you know what? Now I hate him because everybody on ESPN this past weekend, I swear to God, if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times talk about... And the ladies' soccer team are going to try and party like it's 1999. Shut up.
Can we talk about that for a moment? Because I think it's important to confront sexism in our society.
Okay, let's do it.
I, of course, watched the Women's World Cup, was obviously cheering for America. Here's what the noise the crap out of me. They blew that game.
Yep.
They collapsed. And then what happens on Facebook? Good job, ladies. Way to represent our country. Way to keep trying. Sorry, no, that's not acceptable to me. If that was the men's soccer team, everybody would be like, how the hell did you lose the game? Why'd you blow it? And it's like, good job, ladies. Nice hair. Good bangs. Like, no, it's not. Like, the blatant sexism to me was driving me crazy. I think we need to confront it. So
no,
we need to make an example out of
them. People don't like to be mean to women, to girls. They feel bad.
And they blew that game. Literally. Blew it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that happens from when we're young. People are so coddling and being so delicate with the little girls that they don't learn to be tough and take the truth and bad news.
Right. And I'm sorry, 3-year-old girl, you're fat and chubby. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Or parodying style. And there's only like 4 soccer fields in Japan because they don't have much land. It's why baton twirling is such a good sport there because you don't need land for it. True story. But like, no, seriously, baton twirling is the national sport of Japan. And I know people who all they do is they live in America, but they go over to Japan to teach twirling because it's so competitive there. In part because it requires no physical space, which is a pretty big limitation in Japan. So like for that, like soccer isn't even big. I think they said they only had like 1,200 girls registered in like the U.S. like or the Japanese Women's Soccer League Association or something, where like they said we have like 85,000 just in California. It's like, how did we lose?
Wow.
I'm sorry, I'm very angry about it.
Well, and that's the other thing. It was you're absolutely right. I agree wholeheartedly, Larry.
Yes.
Because and it was this whole thing about women are being equal and women are taking things and I actually saw somebody post this on Facebook and she'll know who she is if she's listening. Post that she actually said this. Now finally, something the women are better at than the men. And I'm
losing.
Like, are you? No, this was before they lost. I'm like, are you freaking high? Are you serious? Cause it brought me back to high school. I have a story from high school because my senior year of high school, they announced the school was going to close. And our basketball team, it was all guys between 5'6 and 5'10. And we lost a lot of games because we were full of short guys. And our girls team was like 20-1. They only lost one game. They lost by 2 points. And they were going around like they were the greatest thing ever. And they started talking shit about how much better they were than we were. And our coach got wind of it. And he's like, all right, you want to be that way. And he set up a scrimmage between us and the girls
team. Like the tennis match.
Right, and I'll get to the tennis match in a minute, why that was bullshit, but I love women, but these are bullshit things. I want to be able to, if you want to be judged equally, let's judge everybody equally. So they're talking shit about this, and they were a great girls team. They dominated the competition of other girls, and they were a great girls team. They could not compete with us. We played essentially what would amount to a half of basketball, and we beat them 50-23.
Ooh, that's kind of embarrassing.
And the tallest person on the court was not on the guys' team. There was a girl who was like 5'11". And I don't. The score might be a little bit off, but we won pretty.
I will check your historical accuracy.
Go ahead. It's in the records of the locked up dead school. But it was the same sort of thing. And it doesn't take away from the fact that they were a great girls basketball team. It doesn't take any of that away. But if you put to bring it back to the soccer thing, if you put the men's soccer team on the field with the women's soccer team, the men would absolutely destroy them. I mean, they might be able to keep it a competitive game, but it's not a fair comparison to do that. And it doesn't diminish. It does not in any way, shape, or form take the women's team and make them any less than they are on the world stage by saying they aren't competitive with the men. It's not. It's two completely different things.
I mean, it's different if you're talking about two brain surgeons, mm-hmm. man and woman, versus, you know, athletes and such. I mean, I know people get all crazy, but there are differences. There are physical differences. Right. There are genetic differences. They're differences. And I think it's apples and oranges or whatever. You have to compare what it is, you know, mm-hmm. woman soccer player to woman soccer player, man basketball player to man basketball player. I mean, my team senior year was 33-1.
Mm-hmm.
We were pretty freaking good, but even, I mean, and this is terrible to say, but when you watch college ball, a woman's game looks nothing like a men's game. It's a different game. It's played differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's smarter. It's more play-based. It's more patient.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to see a lot of slam dunks. It's a different game. And so to compare the two is just, it's silly.
Right. And that's the whole thing. And to go back to the whole tennis thing with Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs.
A lesbian, just to point out.
Sure. But a woman first and a lesbian second.
I saw Martina Navratilova's A Childhood Home, I'm just saying, when I was in the Czech Republic. That's just a side note.
Okay. The whole thing of the battle of the sexes, and Bobby Riggs was coming out in the early 70s talking about how any man could be any woman at any time. And Bobby Riggs was, I believe, 61 at this point. He was well past his prime. And Billie Jean King was, I believe, the number one women's player in the world at that time. So you're taking a female athlete in her prime against somebody who hasn't seen his prime in more than a generation. And yeah, she beat him, but she beat an old guy. I mean,
she beat a douchebag.
Well, yes, he was a douchebag, but
She wasn't looking to start that fight. He was looking to start the fight. She didn't go after one of the other number one players. He was being a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was, he had that coming. If he thought he was so great and he could beat her, I don't care how old he is. You're going to talk smack, then you're going to get your face rubbed in it.
Yeah.
And lesbians really don't play around with that. No. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, the guy was full of shit. It's like, oh yeah, I'm 61, but I can beat. No, you can't. No, you can't, old man. Settle down. Just go play on the senior tour or whatever you're doing, but and just stop it. There's no need to denigrate what is going on with something else to make yourself seem more than, because that all that does is make you less than.
Well, should they break it up into other ways then too, besides gender? Like, should they have chubby soccer teams and non-chubby soccer teams?
I don't think they should have chubby. Well, here's the thing. If you play a lot of soccer, you're probably not going to be that chubby, because soccer is inherently nothing but running around for 3 hours at a time.
That's a good point.
You have to eat a lot to stay chubby if you're running for 3 hours a day. I'm just saying. So, I mean,
that's true. Although when I played soccer growing up, our neighborhood had a lot of Yugoslavians. And let me just say, those people were effing sturdy. And Tina Valavojevic, I know you're listening to this, she was super strong. And they, like, it was good because they were all on my team and it was great. First of all, they all yelled in Yugoslavian, which I did not understand. And then two, they were solid. They're solid people. So they were good in soccer, but they were big, big boys and girls.
So I think we should racially and ethnically cleanse all of our teams so everybody's well divided.
That makes me nervous.
Right?
Should we basically segregate it by every single possible thing?
Exactly.
Only playing your genetic equivalent.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
ooh, but so this is interesting. It happened at George Washington University this year with people who are kind of like changing their genders, there was a woman on the women's basketball team who identified as a man and who was taking testosterone. And it was a big issue because he was a man, biologically still a female, but the school changed his like registration to be a man. So he's the first man to ever play in a women's sports team. And so it opened up all these new questions about like, how do you do?
Wasn't that the whole issue with the Olympics with the woman?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so now they go with, I think, still social identity. But it's also like,
hey, they let Jamie Lee Curtis play women's parts still. And doesn't she's genetically a man?
Oh, she is?
I think so.
That's kind of hot.
I think I
might be making that up.
That might be one of those internet rumors.
No, I feel like there might be truthiness to that, though.
Well,
you have a smartphone. Quick, look it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that we've heard over and over again, but we also heard that Rod Stewart had to have his stomach pumped because it was full of semen in the 70s.
I mean, my fantasy goes a step further because I believe I actually went to like a grand rounds with my father as a child where they talked about it. But again, that could be all part of my delusion.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, it was one of those weird things. So while Larry looks that up, I also want to talk about Hell's Kitchen being back. Hell's Kitchen was back.
He's
it started.
So mean.
He I love him so much.
I know. Well, okay.
I'm watching Master Chef.
Oh God, you must really love him then.
I
that shows,
love Gordon Ramsay.
That show is well. Then you'll love Fox because it is now the Gordon Ramsay Network.
I watch Kitchen Nightmares. I watch the BBC version. I love him.
Can I just say, by the way, there are over 6,000 posts about Jamie Lee Curtis being hermaphrodite. I am checking the veracity of these statements, and I will give an update.
Okay, so Hell's Kitchen is back, and I actually love Hell's Kitchen, even though I hate fancy food. Anybody who knows me knows that I like my food plain and boring and kind of bland, but I love Hell's Kitchen, and the reason why is because there is nothing I would like more in my workplace when it becomes necessary than to completely verbally dress down someone who deserves it.
Call them a donkey.
Or whatever. Just whatever he does. I mean, that's part of the whole thing. I think that's part of why the show is popular.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't get... It's all part of why wrestling was popular in the late 90s, too, because you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, and his character was a badass, and one of the main things he did was just torment his boss to death. And so people identified with that. They're like, yeah, I wish I could do that, but I'd get fired.
It's a persona. I mean, he's really crafted this persona that people really love because he's such a dick.
Yeah.
He is.
But I've seen him do other shows and I've seen him be on other things. And I think it's showbiz. I think it's a very well crafted. You know, he does the F Word, which is a show on the BBC. And he's nothing but charming on that show.
Really?
Yeah.
Is so the F word, do they just sit around and yell, fuck?
No, I think it's the food, the F word.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's a food show. It's a cooking show. And he's nothing but lovely and charming. I think he does the Kitchen Nightmares. I think he does the Hell's Kitchen. And he's created this wonderful persona that people pay him money to do.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't his the show that got busted? Because you know how a lot of shows, I don't know all the words, but basically cutting and pacing of crowds that, on his audition show. That, like, they said over, like, 1,000 people came out, and to truth, it was only, like, 120. So they copy and paste the audience to make it look like in a flyover shot that it was more crowded. But they did it was so bad because there were people with, like, a bright yellow and orange jacket. And
every sixth
pushed.
Person.
It was actually on Perez. And it was hysterical because when you watch it and stopped it, it was like, oh, my God.
It's like when they do cartoon movies and they make all the little, like, dwarves and they just cut and paste and make tons of dwarves.
Totally. It's kind of funny.
That was the Glenn Beck rallies, too.
I have an important update.
Okay, let's get to this.
Jamie Lee Curtis, I checked a number of sources, and it is undetermined. She won't talk about it, so she won't deny it. But the story is that her parents, part of the reason she has an ambiguous name is that they didn't know if it was going to be a boy or girl. She also adopted all of her children, and she refuses to comment on it. And I learned a lot about intersex, which is having both genitalia. And that a doctor believes, based on her physical structure, she does not have, I forget the chromosomes, but she's a mixture of boy and girlness.
Oh, okay. So we still don't
Jamie
know.
Jamie Lee Curtis, if you are listening to our podcast, break your silence.
Yes.
Come out of the intersex closet.
Come to my living room and break your silence.
Ooh, I'll bring you a Susie burger.
Nice. Nice.
And I will make rugelach.
All right. I want to.
Well, she's Jewish, isn't she?
I don't know. Tony Curtis? And Vivian Leigh, was she
Who knows?
Right? That was her mother, right? Was,
yes.
It's, it, well, then Vivian Leigh would determine it. If she was Jewish, then Jamie Lee Curtis is Jewish.
We're searching again.
I mean, all of all of Hollywood is Jewish. I mean, really.
She's half Jewish.
Which half?
Yeah, that's the important part.
Because I think if Tony Curtis was, then she doesn't really count.
Do you know there's a website called called JewOrNotJew.com? I'm not making this up.
That I'm not surprised.
Neither.
We're waiting to find out if
this
Jamie
is a really
Curtis
Jew-centric
is
show.
Is she Jewish? Is she circumcised? If Jamie Lee Curtis were a hermaphrodite, would she have to be circumcised?
We call it a bris.
Her father's Jewish.
Then she doesn't count. Oh. Then we don't recognize her.
I love the technicalities that all religions have. That's just one that amused me about the Jewish. Every religion has weird technicalities, Jew or
awesome.
Not Jew.
Their website is written in English, but it's clearly in
the Hebrew font.
In Hebrew font.
That's nice.
You should go visit JewOrNotJew.com. Can I start a website called Black or Not Black to see if people are actually black or not?
I feel bad. I was watching a show today at the gym while I was working out, and there was not subtitles, and I have kind of bad eyesight, and there was a woman on it. I spent most of the time wondering, black or not black, why it mattered to me, I don't know, but I was just fascinated. It was that Big Rich in Texas show.
Oh, see, that's just one of those things, though. When you're doing something physically and something catches your eye and distracts you, your brain can only process so many different things, and obviously it's keeping you from falling off the treadmill or whatever you were doing. So it then just fixates on one little thing, and rather than being able to take the whole thing in, it's just fixating on the one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're moving right along here. I have a new little game I want to play.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, this website assigns a score from 0 to 20, and you get a Jew score.
Like how Jew are
how
you?
How Jewish you are. And Jamie Lee Curtis is a borderline Jew.
We can't find out anything about her, can we?
I want to know how they scored. I want to know like how Jewy am I?
Well,
I'll have to conduct a thorough
to find
analysis.
Out what their test is.
It's like the Myers-Briggs personality scale.
All right. So the new game that I have for you guys is cool or tool. So cool. I will bring up a person or situation, and we will all weigh in if that person or thing is cool or if they are a tool.
I like it.
I know it rhymes.
I like it, yeah, yeah.
So let's go Gordon Ramsay.
Cool.
Tool.
Love him.
I don't
care what anybody says.
I'm going to go cool. So he's going to... See, now we have three people. We don't have to have these stalemates. Petra Ecclestone, who is an heiress daughter of Bernie Ecclestone, who runs Formula One Racing, just bought Candy Spelling's mansion in L.A. for $84 million.
It's the most expensive house in the country.
It is. And but she borrowed $82 million from mommy to buy the house. Cool or tool?
Is tool.
Jealous an option?
It is not. It's cool or tool.
I'm going to say tool. But my mom made a wrapping room in my parents' house because when we were in L.A., we learned that they had a sole wrapping house, like a wrapping room in the house. And so my mom was inspired by that. And now my parents' house, we have a wrapping room.
So can your mom beatbox?
Yeah. That was good. I'm going to say tool.
I've got to go with tool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd give it to you if you asked for like $42 million, like half. But if you're going to go 82 out of the 84 million, you're a tool.
It was at like 130 for a while, just to show you how much the market's gone down.
That's crazy. But there was a picture of her on Petra Ecclestone on TMZ. She's 22 and smoking hot, which is odd if you've ever seen her dad.
It just seems like you'd be pretty satisfied with a $2 or $3 million home and use the rest for something better.
Right? I know. At what point does that just become ridiculous?
Yeah.
Well, you have to remember, if you are in the world of Formula One, which is the highest level of technical motor racing in the world, everybody is super, super, super rich. Like, the low-end drivers in Formula One make $10, $12 million a year.
It's just a loss of touch with reality.
Exactly.
You know, it's... You think about that and then you go, man, our country is really pathetic in so many ways right now. But we can buy $84 million houses.
Well,
you could buy like 10 schools.
To be fair, she's not American. So that doesn't
really
play into
it. Why are we letting foreigners come into our country and buy our houses?
Yeah, like when the Japanese bought 30 Rock in the 80s and that ruined
And now they beat us in the World Cup. It's all connected, people.
Sure, except the Chinese own everything now. All right, we got a few more cooler tools.
Okay.
Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez walking along in Malibu, And there was apparently a wedding reception, and they overheard a Justin Bieber song playing. So the young couple decided to crash the wedding.
Cool. I actually have a personal connection to this. A friend of mine's friend was there and said he was generally awesome. He took pictures, like he gave them a wedding toast, and everyone there was floored.
So I want to say Tool, but I think it's just because I'm bitter and jealous, and I think it's cool that they did that. And if it was my wedding, I would have been thrilled. Yeah. So I guess I'll give them a cool, even though I think they're kind of toolish and I'm not really into them, but maybe because I'm just too old to get them.
Yeah, I really wanted to go Tool on this. With all of my, with every fiber in my being, I just wanted to go, what a pretentious dick. And then I thought, what would I do if it were me? And if I heard someone blasting my voice out of their backyard, like
that
I'm
would
walking
be
down this
bizarre without offense.
Dude, if I'm walking down the street and somebody's blasting the podcast from the backyard, I'm stopping by to say hey. So I'm going to have to go cool on that. And the final cooler Tool, I don't know if you guys have seen this video yet or not. Some guys were trying to rob a store in the LA area in Altadena, and they go in with guns.
Oh,
like,
I saw it.
Give us the money. Give us the money. And then all of a sudden you hear this chihuahua start barking. And the two grown men with guns are like, shit. Oh, shit. And
it's Paco.
And they start to immediately run. And then they're like, wait a minute. We haven't gotten the money yet. So they go back and they're like pointing the gun at the guy. But the dog is now around the corner. And like one of them's wearing shorts. And the dog is jumping on them, and they got away with like $200, but they're not going to get away forever because someone is going to rat them out because the video is everywhere.
Seriously,
the LA County Sheriff's posted it on YouTube, and it went viral late last night, and it's on the news all day today. Somebody is going to rat them out, if only to make fun of them.
And yeah, I don't even know if we need to weigh in. I just say that's such an easy Tool call.
Yeah,
on really every level. I mean, the
I
fact
feel
that
they need just to go cool
robbers.
No.
Would.
But the question is, the chihuahua.
Oh, cool for sure.
Paco's the dog.
He's the new McGruff crime dog,
right?
That would be a terrible Saturday morning thing.
He's McGruff's gay cousin,
right?
Yeah, and you know it's great. More work for George Lopez. Hey, everybody.
George Lopez, have anyone seen that show?
Yes.
It's on after I think it's on after Seinfeld, like at midnight. That show is painful.
Okay, are you talking about his sitcom that was on forever but was terrible?
Yes.
Or are you talking about his talk show that's now?
His talk show I once watched for 4 seconds and became immediately depressive. However, his sitcom was atrocious.
ABC, I don't know what ABC executives were doing in the 90s. But they left the George Lopez show and According to Jim on for like 8 years.
According to Jim, what was that about?
That was like a comedy block on ABC for 8 years, 8 seasons.
I don't do sitcoms. I can't do any of them for the most part.
Oh, you should watch The Middle. It's really smart. It's Patricia Clarkson's new song, new show. It's about a family in Indiana. It's really funny.
You know what I'm sad about? Zooey Deschanel has a new sitcom coming out, and I love her, and I think she's a genius, and it looks just awful, and I don't know why she's letting them do that to her.
I know, it's sad.
What? Well, that's way to bring us down, Mel.
I'm sorry. It's beneath her, and sitcoms are stupid, and that's all I have to say about that.
Sitcoms are not stupid. Sitcoms are awesome. They're just done poorly now.
Some are done well. I think there are some good ones.
They're starting to come back around. I mean, there was a time when everyone was like, oh, the sitcom is dead. And that also happened in the late 70s and early 80s until Cosby came around. It was like, oh, the sitcom is dead. And then the Cosby Show came, and basically everybody was like glued to the Cosby Show. And it sort of went from there. And then we had Cheers, and Cheers was on a little bit before that. And
Three's Company.
Taxi.
Right. Well, you had that. You had the Three's Company section of sitcoms that went through. I'm going to keep talking while you guys sing. That went through up until then. And then there was, when those went off the air, there was like this hole. Like when Happy Days ended after like 800 years on the air.
I believe it's called Jumping the Shark.
Oh my God.
I love that
term. Shark Week, by the way.
Oh, I love Shark Week.
When I lived in D.C., the Discovery Communications building was like 2 blocks from my house, and they put a gigantic shark on it. Like, it's like, their building is like 15 or 16 stories, and it was like 6 or 7 stories. It was this huge shark. It was cool. The best thing in the world.
we need more sharks on things. True. You could put a shark on something. That's what we should do with the new Kings Arena if they ever build it. Put a shark on it.
Ugh, don't get me started. We desperately need a new arena, but maybe we should save the playgrounds for children before we build a huge playground for millionaires.
Listen, if you save the playgrounds for children, you know what's going to happen? Someone is going to light them on fire. It happens over and over again. Larry just hit the microphone again with a drumstick.
I'm very silly.
which he did before we started recording and essentially blew out my left eardrum. But
I
it's
might
okay.
have. Here's the thing, though. But sitcoms also are in a weird territory because there's that dramedy thing now that makes sitcoms, unless it's really done, just look awful. Because there's the whole, like, shows that are really embracing comedy and drama. And they're that, like, Glee, I think, is a pretty good example. And it's a middle ground. But if you have a cheesy sitcom with, like, a bad laugh track, it just makes it look so awful. So I think there are good ones.
Yeah, I
even far between. Dick, by the way, I can't recommend that show enough.
Has anybody seen Wilfred?
No. The one where the guy's in a dog costume?
He's not in a dog costume. He's supposed to be a dog.
Ah, it's a dude in a dog costume. It's on FX. It's on after Louie, which is a fantastic sitcom.
I think that show's a little overhyped.
It's very overhyped, but it's a really good show. And Joan Rivers guested last week, and I'm not a Joan Rivers fan.
She scares me.
I'm not a Joan Rivers fan by any stretch of the imagination, but it was just fantastic. It was a fantastic episode. I laughed. I cried.
Joan Rivers is a Jew.
She is, in fact.
True.
Louis, need to point out every personal characteristic of everyone we talk about.
Louis C.K., not a Jew. But he did work on the Chris Rock. He worked with Chris Rock.
Also not a Jew.
Not a Jew. Chris Rock, not a Jew, in fact.
Whoopi Goldberg, not a Jew.
Right, true.
The only non-Jewish Goldberg. The wrestler Goldberg was a Jew.
Yes.
And still, in fact, is.
Wasn't the Rat Pack guy, he was actually Jewish. He became Jewish, didn't he?
Sammy Davis Jr. He converted.
Yeah, well.
But I heard you really can't convert.
Sure you can.
You can.
But only reform, though, right? Like, I couldn't be an Orthodox Jew, aside from my love of
thinking. I think as long as you go through the conversion process, you have to be dunked in a mikvah, and you have to be recircumcised, which means they have to draw a drop of blood from the head of your penis. I think you can be converted and be as religious as you want once you go through the process.
That sounds like a normal Saturday night for
me.
So... have any problems.
I know from the Adam Sandler song that Hall of Famer Rod Carew was Jewish because he converted. True. He did.
And that Landers. Song probably taught more things about Jewish people than any history book ever could.
And that's kind of the fun thing about music and Weird Al and Adam Sandler and all that other stuff. Music brings us together. I think we all sang tonight too. We did. Because
I had a musical show.
It was weird. I wouldn't expect singing all the time. But hey, we'll take it where we can get it. So we hit on a lot of stuff tonight. Anything else we want to talk about as we come to a screeching halt here?
It's been a pleasure being with you gentlemen this evening.
It's been fun playing with a girl.
I know, it's crazy, right?
Well, very comfortable.
Oh, wow.
It's weird because up until now, this is the fourth show. I'm talking like I've been doing it for 6 years. Up until now, it's been either Larry or I having a conversation, or last week it was you and I, Mel, having a conversation. So it's interesting trying to incorporate everybody in. So if we kind of went off a little bit askew, please forgive us. We're three people trying very hard, and the show's free.
Yeah,
free, I tell you.
Threesomes are trickier.
Because there's always usually two and then the one person out.
Right.
But I kind of feel like you are by podcast curious. And this was to see how we all get along.
Yeah.
Well, I know we all get along fine. We're all friends.
That's not the
issue.
That's the thing about threesomes. You can have two people and that's great, and then two people, that's great. When you put them all together, sometimes it doesn't work.
Right.
So you're saying I'm the person on the sideline wondering where to put my thumb?
No, I think...
You have two thumbs.
You're the person that's like, right. Hey, I have this friend that's into this. And you're both trying to like, yeah, it'll work. And now we're totally like, yeah, it does. High five.
Woohoo.
All right. So on that note, we'll wrap everything up. If you thank you for listening, everybody.
Ooh, send in questions.
Yeah, send in questions. The email address is natedarlingshow@rocketmail.com. I know you love that, don't you? There's links to everything. Go to if you're downloading this off of iTunes, go to our website, which is natedarlingshow.podbean.com. and just hit the show extras link. That'll be where you can find all the links to the stuff we talk about, the link to email us, and everything else that we talked about on the show that you might want to see, like the Chihuahua video and stuff that you might not have seen or been able to read out. The hairy foot nipple will be there.
Ooh, and can I give a shout out to Huge Entertainment?
Yes. Yes, Huge Entertainment.
And good night, Newton Carruthers, wherever you are.
Oh, yeah, Newton Carruthers.
Wherever you are.
We should start a campaign to get him on our show as a guest, as a special guest star.
I'm going to need to get another microphone if we do that.
We can do it.
Or we're going to have to share. We have to share.
He can sit in my lap. Wouldn't be the first.
I don't know that he's going to come if that's really the... He could just sit between Mel and I on the couch and just lean whichever way he likes.
Why right? are the street people on one side?
Because you're allergic to cats.
That's true. And we're I'm not allergic to Newton Carruthers.
No, no one's allergic to Newton Carruthers. He's hypoallergenic. He's like that Portuguese water dog. He's. We're going to make a deity out of this damn character, aren't we?
Yes.
Say a prayer to him tonight.
Greg, if you're listening to this, actually, Aaron, if you're listening to this with Greg... Just release a little bit of air out of his head, and it'll all be okay.
Yes.
Because he's not prone to getting the swelled head, but with all this adulation, how could you help but get a little bit?
Mel, did you still want to go get Newton Carruthers tattoos tonight?
Done.
Done.
Nice. All right, so thanks again for listening. For Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead, I am Nate Darling. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Ma-ma-ma-ma.
She's got to love nobody.
Can't read mine. No, he can't read a my poker face.
She's got to love nobody.
Pa 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 poker face, pa pa poker face.
Ma 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 ma.
Pa 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 poker face, pa pa poker face.
Hey!
Womanizer, woman, womanizer.
You're a womanizer.
Oh, womanizer.
Oh, you're a womanizer, baby.
You are.
You are. Womanizer.
Boy, don't try to front. I know just what you are. Boy, don't try to front. I know just what you are. You say I'm crazy. I've got your crazy. You're nothing but a womanizer.
You spin my head right round, right round. When you go down, when you go down, down.
You spin my head right round,
right round. When you go down, when you go down.
Hey! Day and night, the lonely stoner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night.
Day and night.
The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night.
At night.
It's a quarter after one. I'm a little drunk and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call, but I lost all control and I need you now. And I don't know how I can do without. I just need you now. And I was like, baby, baby, baby.
So what? I'm still a rock star. I've got my rock moves, and I don't need you. And guess what? I'm having more fun. And now that we're done, I'm gonna show you tonight. I'm alright, I'm just fine, and you're a tool. So what? I am a rock star. I've got my rock moves, and I don't want you tonight.
I kissed a girl, and I liked it. The taste of her cherry chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it.
I hope my boyfriend don't mind it.
It felt so wrong, it felt so right. Don't mean I'm in love tonight. I kissed a girl and I liked it.
I liked it.
And I'd like to make myself believe that planet Earth turns slowly. It's hard to say that I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep. Cause everything is never as it seems. Blame it on the goose, got you feeling loose. Blame it on the throne, got you in the zone. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the vodka, blame it on the Henny. Blame it on the blue cat, got you feeling dizzy. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the alcohol. Shouties like a melody in my head that I can't keep out. Got me singing like na 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 every day. It's like my iPod stuck on replay, stuck on replay, stuck on replay, 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 a a a a. Baby, are you down, 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 down? Baby, are you down?
polka face, polka face.
Polka face, polka face.
Oh no, you can't.